you may be in a different place than you were in the other building over here, but you may even sing better now. As far as I'm concerned, I really enjoy it. I appreciate those of you that play the instruments. Thank you so much for that. God bless you and the talent He's given you. You use it for the Lord. Appreciate you that teach Sunday school. Don't want to take you for granted. Again, we've mentioned these fellows, the deacons, and their wives and their families. We appreciate them. We appreciate those that work in the Awana program, those that work in Bible drill. I realize it's a great sacrifice. Miss Connie, appreciate you putting the letters on the sign. God bless you for that. Brother Calvin, Miss Anna Mae, Jeff, thank y'all for cleaning. Boy, it looked beautiful this morning when I come in. Come in, the house of God was clean. That's a blessing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I'm thankful I'm saved this morning. Jesus saw fit to save me. Mama couldn't do it. Daddy couldn't do it. Deacons couldn't do it. Choir couldn't do it. But Jesus has done it. Praise the Lord. Some of you may say, well, it's about time you got saved. Amen. I'm glad to be saved this morning. I want to bless His name. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd like for you to turn to the 55th division of the Psalms. The 55th division of the Psalms. And then I want you to take your hand and hold it there and turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Having found that place, would you stand with me this morning as we reverence God's holy word as we read it this morning? I want to read in Psalm 55, verse number 16. Let's start there. As for me, David says, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. Verse number 22, David says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. David's telling us that he's been in a great battle, and he called on the Lord. And he found out that the Lord was there and able to deliver him in peace. I'm glad this morning, aren't you, that we can cast our burden upon the Lord and He will sustain us. God knows what your need is today and He'll sustain you. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank You, God, that You've allowed us this morning to come into Your house, to stand before this great congregation. We love them very dearly. We do not want to see them hurting. God, I pray, Father, You'd bless them. And I ask today, God, as we lift them, and there are many prayer requests to You, that God, You'd hear and You'd answer according to Your divine will and Your divine purpose. God, I pray that You'd make preaching easy today. Lord, I'm too weak and I'm not able, not qualified, God, I know. But God, You saw fit to save me. God, You called me years ago. It was not my desire to preach, but God, it was Your will that called us. And Lord, today we stand here in faith that God, You'd fill us with Your Spirit and give us Your unction to preach today to help, Lord Jesus, these folks. Lord, we just ask for Your help in this place today, for it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Like to preach on this thought, somebody to care. Somebody to care. Now, I want you to know there's a story I was reading, reminded of here a while back about a grandpa. He was a logger, and he had very calloused hands. And the little boy and the grandpa came into church there. They sat about halfway back in the service, and when they got there, the church hadn't been cleaned real good, and there were some flowers laying around in different pews, and they just happened to sit down where there were some flowers arranged, and one of them stick pins inside that flower arrangement. That little boy, he pulled out that stick pin, started kind of playing with it, you know, while the service was going on, and he thought it'd be funny to stick it in Grandpa's hand. See if he could demonstrate the Holy Ghost or not. Amen. And he put that pin in Grandpa's hand, and Grandpa never moved because his hands were so calloused. He couldn't even feel that pin as it went in. That little boy was amazed that he couldn't get Grandpa to jump around there and act foolishly. And so he decided he'd shove it in just a little deeper. And he did, and Grandpa still never moved. Years and years of hard work had calloused him up pretty hard. Little boy, not being satisfied, wanting to see a move, he pushed that pin in a little further till it hit a quick down in the flesh. And Grandpa jumped up, said, "Boy, what are you doing?" right in the middle of service, and took him out, and he wore that young man out. Now I want to say to you this morning, I believe in the house of God, we've become very calloused to the old story that Jesus saves. How he died on the cross and went to the grave there, and how he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. We could preach that story and preach that story in churches where we've become gospel hardened and very callous to how much Jesus has loved us. And I believe sometimes God wants to take the pin and stick it in a little deeper to get us to the quick, to get us to respond, to get us to love Him. And sometimes we still don't respond. And He sticks it in just a little further, trying to get us to respond to His beck and call. This morning there's some kind of need in your life. God's been trying to get your attention, and He's gotten it. And you, my friend, feel like you're left all alone, destitute, and feel like nobody's there. But I want to tell you, the very one's been trying to get your attention that allowed these things to come. He cares for you today beyond what anybody else could ever care for you. I began to think years ago that I just started preaching, and I was driving down the road, and I remember saying, "Lord, I want to know just how much You're here with me today, just how able You are to meet my needs on a moment." And I had the radio on, the 720 AM WGCR radio out of Pisgah Forest, North Carolina. And every Friday, I believe it was, folks would call in from the church where they went, and they would turn the pastor's name in to the radio station, and they'd have a little drawing there, and they'd give a free breakfast at a little restaurant there for the pastor and his wife. And that was all while I was praying these thoughts, and my mind is a million miles away, and all of a sudden I heard that, and I said, "Lord, I don't necessarily need breakfast or a free breakfast. Lord, You've blessed me. I don't have to have those things. And I really know that there's other pastors that need these things, but I want to know just how much You're with me." Now, you know, Lord, I ain't never won anything in my life, but I want to know how much You're with me. And about that time, they announced my name on the radio and said, "Darren and Gina Waldrop are the winners." There was 100 and some odd names called in. You may say, "Well, that ain't no big deal." I'm telling you, because what I was praying, I had to pull the truck off the side of the road and get out and get on my knees and just wept and wept and wept. Gave that little breakfast thing to somebody else. That wasn't what I was after. I just wanted to know that God was able to hear my prayers and meet them immediately, if it be His will. And just as I asked Him, before I ever said amen, it happened. I was walking through the hospital, been in the hospital, you know, there to visit people 2-3 times this week, maybe 4, and last week as well. And I was walking through the hospital there and went up by a place they called ICU. It's the intensive care unit. Went by another place, they called it CCU. It was a coronary care unit. I've driven down the road and seen signs about billboards about Medicare. I've seen signs in front of businesses saying child care or daycare center. Here it is, intensive care, coronary care, Medicare, daycare, child care. Everybody's trying to sell a service of care. But I'm telling you what, I've got one that cares for me. Who can go well beyond what ICU or CCU or Medicare or child care will ever do. I got to thinking there as I went past ICU and praying for the folks that's in there, didn't even know them. I got to thinking how that, you know, ICU only has so many beds. They're appointed by the hospital and by the government based upon population size and needs of that community and staffing sizes. I want you to know that I've been in the rooms with people that was very sick, and before they would take them to an ICU unit, they had to get a bed for them. There had to be a place for that person to go before they'd even let them in. Same thing in CCU. I've heard of parents saying, "Preacher, pray. My wife's working, I'm working. We're needing a daycare center to take our children in. And there's a waiting list because the daycare is full. And based on their staff size, nobody else can get in. Preacher, pray that our child would be able to be accepted in daycare." Ain't amazing all the services and all the people that are trying to sell care, and yet there are many that are on waiting lists and cannot get the care that they need. Or maybe when they get care, it's insufficient and they're left with some deficiency because they can't get the care that they need. But I want to say to you, church, this morning, that my Lord Jesus Christ has never put me on a waiting list. He has never said, "Well, let me see if there's a bed for you or see if there's an answer that I can give you." As soon as I've gone to Him with my needs, He's been right there for me. And I thank Him for that this morning. When I look here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7 will be our text. "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." I want to talk about this morning, first of all, the thought of abasement. Abasement. Now I'm not talking about something that's underneath the first floor that you call a basement. I'm talking about humbling oneself. I tell you, nowadays in the church, we've become so callous and so high and mighty in ourselves, we forgot how to humble ourselves like we used to. It used to be you'd feel more God in the parking lot than you feel in the typical church nowadays because people's got too high and mighty to humble themselves. He gives us in verse 5 a lesson. He says, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." Submit, that means to humble yourself. You take the lesser seat and the lesser place and you give someone else the higher place. He says, "Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and He giveth grace to the humble." Peter is writing here saying, you need to learn how to humble yourself. If you're going to be cared for, you're going to learn to be humble. I'm telling you what, when I got sick 2 years ago, I thought I was able and strong enough to do and handle a lot of things. But when I got so sick, it didn't matter anymore. Pride went out the window. I just need to get better. I had to learn to humble myself and find out I needed to receive help, and I was a candidate for help. Oh, Peter here, there's something about him preaching humbleness one to another. Listen to what he's saying here. Here's a man in the book of Matthew and Mark and Luke that's recorded that he and the other disciples began to reason amongst themselves who would be the greatest. You know that happens a lot in life. Maybe in your school, maybe in your job, whatever facet of family that you're in, there may be a pecking order. You know, who's the greatest? Who's the most powerful? Who's the most influential? And these disciples started arguing that stuff amongst themselves. Jesus walked up there to them. He picked up a little child. And He said, "Whosoever humbles himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." You don't need to have all these qualifications and doctorate degrees hanging around your neck, amen. I'm telling you, what you need to learn to be is humble. Just admit you have a need and that there's one greater than you that can care for you. You'll never care for yourself. He, my friend, can handle all your needs when you can't handle them. So Peter's saying, I want you to know that I've been rebuked there. And I found out after Calvary that I'm to be humble. And he's preaching, humbling yourself one to another. Then next of all, he again in verse 6, he says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Not just humbling yourself one to another. You know, letting the other have a better place. But he says, now humble yourself to God. Remember Peter, he had heard Jesus was going to go to the cross and die. And he said, oh no, Jesus, we'll go with you to the death. And he said, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Oh no, he says, absolutely not. And my friend, before that cock crew, three times he denied the Lord. And a third time he began to cuss and cuss a blue streak like an old sailor. You know, something's happened to Peter. Used to be so prideful and so full of himself. Something's happened to him now when he says, humble yourself under the hand of God. What do you think happened? He saw one go to a cross. One bleed and die there. He saw him carry that body off the cross and take it and put it in a tomb and roll a stone in front of it. He remembered that he had denied the Lord and he felt like such an outcast. And he went and he wept bitterly for day after day after day. But early that first Sunday morning, the angel said, you go tell his disciples and Peter. Peter was one of the disciples, but he specifically mentioned him. He said, you go tell the disciples and Peter that Jesus is risen as he said. And I'm telling you, when the word of that came, Peter jumped up and began to run to that place to see if these things were so. Why? Why the difference in Peter? My friend, he'd learned to humble himself. Friend, I'm telling you what, you think you can handle your needs. Well, I've got a good job, you say. I've got good friends and good family. I'm going to tell you what, your friends and family and your job cannot handle all your needs. There are some things that are above and beyond what human help can do. So we need to learn to be humble. Second of all, we need to learn, my friend, to learn to have some action. Bible says in verse number 7, some activity. He says in verse 7, casting all your care upon him. Casting. Casting means to throw. Now we claim this verse all the time. And you've heard us preach on this verse and others preach on this verse. You've been in church longer than I've ever even been alive, most of you. And I want you to know today I'm unqualified to preach this, I'm sure and certain. But my thought is this, my friend. If you're going to cast something, it means to throw it. For it not to, expect it not to return unto you, to get rid of it. Luke 19:35, the same word occurs, where they took their garments and they cast them upon a little colt on which Jesus would ride. They put their garments on that colt and took their hands off of them. Casting means to throw. Preacher, what do you mean this morning? Some of us think casting is Jesus is going to come to you with a crowbar. And he's going to try to take your needs and separate your needs and your cares away from you and put it in a wheelbarrow and somehow fix it for you. He don't have a rope to tie around you and pull your cares away. He wants you to make an effort. He demands action from you for you to get out of your seat and get on your knees and say, Lord, I want to learn to cast. I want to give these things to you and take my hands off. Y'all know the story where I used to pastor about a little girl. Young lady got saved in vacation Bible school. A few Sundays later, we took we had them out there and we asked them, to cast all our cares upon the Lord because he cares for us. And we had balloons and we were going to demonstrate with, they took a balloon and wrote a prayer request on it and they let the balloon go. It was demonstrating letting your prayers go to God. You know, when you let that balloon go in the air and it takes off, you're not going to get it back. You've given it to God. You took your hands off of it and you're going to trust wherever it goes, God will get it in the right place. And they'll forget it. Had a whole class of children there and they wrote things and prayer requests on those balloons and they let them go. 2 weeks later, I went to see the drunk in the county. He had a steal up in the county up there up in the woods. And I went up there and started talking to him. He jumped off his tractor. He said, I ain't afraid of the devil. I ain't afraid of hell. I'm looking forward to the party of hell. I'm all excited about it, preacher. I want you to know, preacher, the devil's my best friend. He keeps me in business and he gives me plenty of money. What broke my heart? I felt like leaving there defeated because I knew God sent me to see him. And I looked at him and I said, sir, just a few weeks ago, your granddaughter got saved at our church. And if something happens, the Lord comes, she'll be in heaven because she got saved. And you're going to go to hell. He put his finger up, pointed at me. He said, son, that's just a thing. That's just a thing I wanted to talk to you about. His wife got up, went down the hallway into the back bedroom, and she came out carrying something. Here she come across, and she laid it down in my hands. It was a blue balloon, and it had a long string still attached to it. And I stretched it out, and I recognized it. His little granddaughter had just a few weeks before let that balloon go. On it was her name, and on it was her prayer request. God save Papaw. And she just trusted he was going to do it. Her papaw's a hog gut drunk. Worse than probably anybody I've ever been around in my life. And I looked at him and told him about that story. And he said, preacher, that landed beside my front porch in the bushes. When I got up that morning, there it was. Who put it there? I said, God did. He said, surely somebody in the church, you've come up here before and laid that there. Why would I do that? I said, I'm telling you, God supernaturally, divinely appointed that to come to this place. And he looked at me. And he said, you mean God's trying to get my attention? And I said, yes, sir, he wants to save your soul. He looked at my Bible and he said, that Jesus that you was telling about there, I'd never heard of him before. Can you believe that? Living in North Carolina, said, I ain't never heard of him before. Did he really die like you said? Did he really raise again from the dead? Who could do that? I said, Jesus could. Who could put that balloon on your front porch 15 miles away? What's the percentages? 100%. God don't miss. He bowed on his knees there and he said, preacher, I want to get saved. He busted up his steels, amen, and he'd come to church the next Sunday. I sat on the front row and they come to me and said, hey, so-and-so's here, so-and-so's here. Can you believe it? He's lost. He's a drunk. Let me tell you something. I said, you know what? He was lost. He was a drunk. But Jesus has saved him and all things are new. Became one of my best friends. Why? Because he cast all his cares upon Jesus and Jesus saved him. More than that, you and I must know that after we've been saved, there'll come times that you and I will feel inept and feeble to do anything, powerless to change circumstances in our lives. But he's told us, if you have a care, if you have a concern, bring it to me. I want you to cast it. He's not going to pull it from you. He wants you to get up and give it to him. That's what he's asking for. So we see some activity, some action. I want you to see next of all an amount. He says, all your care. All meaning the whole. All meaning the sum. All meaning entire everything. He wants you to give him all your cares. You hear what I'm going to tell you today? There's not one ICU unit that can care for you all. They can nurse your body to health, but they can't handle your job situation or some other needs you may have. I'm telling you what, there's a lot of folks say, they cast all their cares upon individuals, but no one individual can help you. You hear me? Your mama can't handle it all. You young people, you tell your mama everything, but you hear me? She can't handle it all. She can't change the bully at the school. And your daddy, he's concerned and praying for you, but he can't handle it all. This preacher up here this morning, I cannot handle all the needs of this church. But God can. Amen. All, A-L-L, entirely the sum, the whole of the matter. Nextly, I want you to see your anxiety. Look with me. He says, casting all your care. What is my cares? What is it concerns you? What is it that's pulling you apart? What is it you worry about? What is it you fret about? What is it that concerns and burdens your soul? God says, I don't care if it's the smallest of the small or the biggest of the big. I want you to bring your cares, all of them, to me. All the things that concern you. It's not what we do, is it? We say, boy, I'd like to pray about so-and-so, but it seems so small. in the sight of God. I can't mention that. I'll just try to handle it myself. And I'll be tough and get along. Friend, I'm telling you, it'll break your life. I'm challenging you today. Would you cast all your care upon the Lord? All your anxiety, all your worries upon Him? Now I want you to know, He says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. His attention is on you. Now you've all been in the doctor's office. And you know, they take you there. You're in the waiting room. You've signed in. And someone says, hey, Darren, it's time for you to go back. The doctor's ready to see you. You know, and you come out of the waiting room. And you go back there to that little room. And they said, just have a seat. And you sit down. Well, the doctor wasn't there waiting on you. They said the doctor's ready to see you, but he ain't ready to see you. You just went from the first waiting room to the next waiting room. Can I get a witness? Am I telling it right? And you sit there and you sit there and maybe you sit there 5 minutes and you might see a nurse. And maybe you sit there 10 or 15 minutes and finally you hear something. You know what it is? Something on the outside of the door. Somebody's got your file. They begin to read it. Let's see, who have I got in there? That's Jerry. And see, Jerry's had this problem and this problem. And they said today his blood pressure's this and this. And well, let me go in and talk to Jerry and see if there's any more I need to find out about him before I diagnose his problem. And the doctor comes in and says, hello, how are you today? What seems to be troubling you? Hey, hear me. Our physician is the Lord. He don't need to read some file on the outside of the door to figure out who's on the inside. He don't need to read some file about you to figure out your needs, your problems, your cares, your concerns. He's not going to leave you waiting in some waiting room, my friend. You hear me? He is able to take all your cares. If you'll cast them upon Him, He cares for you. He's a specialist. I walked by the ICU unit and the CCU unit, and then I stopped out there at one of these nurses' desks, and there's all these specialists. Well, I'm a specialist. I specialize in internal medicine. I'm a specialist. Well, glotty-da-da. I've got a specialist that lives down in my soul, amen, that specializes in care for me. What Medicare can't do, what ICU can't do, what the daycare can't do, He can do, amen, the impossible for me and for you. Why? Because His attention, He specializes in caring for people. You'll never, listen, you may go and hear about some doctor. Well, I wouldn't go to him. He's not compassionate. I wouldn't go to him. He don't know his head from a hole in the ground. I wouldn't go to him. He's too young. I wouldn't go to him. He's too old. But I want to tell you what, you can go to Jesus every time, amen. He's always there for you. There to hear your needs and there to bless you. Amen. I'm telling you, you've heard this preached before. You've heard to cast your care upon Him, but you've become callous to it. He tries to take it a little deeper with you. You still ain't getting it. He takes it a little deeper into the quick to get your attention, to get you to trust Him. Just let it go and let God. This morning I want you to know, did you know everything He does for you? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, my body, it's broken for you. He said, if I go again, I'll come for you and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Everything He does for you. He's a specialist. And you are the most important thing in His world. That's right. You know what? If you have a need, He has the supply. If you have a problem, He is the solution. If you're taking a test, amen, He has the answer. If you're hungry, He has bread. Hallelujah. If you're thirsty, He has water. If you're sick, He's the healer. My friend, you and I need to learn to cast all our care upon Him. Why? For He cares for you. Everybody's trying to sell services. And I guarantee you'll get a bill from the daycare. You'll get a bill. Yes, you will. From the ICU unit. They want to provide care, but it's for a fee. But our Lord Jesus is free. All you've got to do is just take it.
Amen.
Come here and bow in this place and cast it upon Him. It's what He wants. He said, hey, come to me all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. I believe that, don't you?
Amen.
All right, if you'd stand with me this morning. I'm glad this morning there is someone to care. As you stand, someone come to the instrument, please. My mind is reminded that there's folks that say they're under pastoral care. I want to tell you this morning, there have been a lot of folks been casting burdens. You've been trying to cast it on the preacher. Wherever you may attend church or some man of God you got confidence in. But the preacher can't change your situation. He can pray for you. He can listen, but he can't change it. You may go to the counselor and tell them all your world's problems and all your world's troubles, but the counselor cannot help you. They'll listen and try to advise you, but they're not capable. Mom and daddy can't handle it. Your boss, you try to give it to your boss can't handle it. But if you'd bow your head today, nobody looking, I'm going to tell you Jesus can handle it. He wants to handle it. You'd come this morning. Folks are already moving to this old-fashioned altar. You'd cast your cares on Him this morning. Preacher, I've been down there before and prayed. I'm telling you what, maybe just don't know it real good, but He's got you through this far, ain't He? He can take you the rest of the way. You come on, trust Him this morning. Folks are moving. You mind God. Don't you be calloused. Don't you stand there and Him speak to you and you say, well, He'll go a little deeper if He needs to with the need in your life. Boy, while it's just as good as it is, you'd better come. It could be a whole lot worse, and maybe we'll get that way. If you don't mind, God, folks are bowing, moving. They're coming down this center aisle now. Come on. You mind them. God spoke to your heart. Come on. Amen. Trust Him this morning.
Pick it up and encourage them in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask your help.